Welcome to Aspire. I'm your host, Gregory Penn, and this Aspire radio program, we lovingly like to call Satsang, is for Saturday, February the 4th, 2017. We're going to talk about love. We're going to talk about Valentine's Day and that whole rigmarole. Every man's nightmare, as we call it. We'll talk a little bit more about that here in just a moment. I want to remind you that these radio programs that you are listening to, that you are hopefully gaining something by or enjoying or whatever you do, are made possible by my sponsors. It is only through their tax-deductible gifts and their loving and conscious giving are we allowed to share these moments together, you and I. And I don't know how to thank them enough for what they do and how much they give. And if these radio programs, along with the TV programs that you see on the website at aspire.org, mean anything to you and you find them helpful, I hope that you will become a sponsor and help us sustain our efforts, as we are simply here to offer to you the alternative to conventional thinking and beliefs and theories and all that other lovely stuff that people like to get involved in, the woo-woo stuff, as I like to say. So become a sponsor. Go to the website at aspire.org. You will see sponsorship, and that's a good way to begin, and you can read all about it. You get some wonderful gifts, my commentaries, my podcast, video cast, the message of the month, and any of the beautiful TV program CDs that I've made. For each program, I have made different CDs to help you, and you are more than welcome to download them and listen and enjoy as my gift to you, a way of thanking you. Valentine's Day is a difficult day. It's all about romance. It's all about the girls. It's all about telling them we love them and all that other stuff. And it generally is, for most people, when you're young and your chemistry is going, it's a kind of an interesting time, maybe. But as time rolls on, as you roll on, you start to realize what this whole thing is all about. And you begin to take a little more cynical point of view about it. But that wouldn't help either. There's so much more to this whole thing than we imagine, than we can think. So I'm going to try to help, believe me, I am, from the point of view of a spiritual practice, an authentic one. First question comes from Helen in Washington State. She says, "What is the difference between romance and love? I have listened to you for many years, and now that we're here," and this was about 3 weeks ago, "approaching Valentine's Day, I was wondering what your thoughts were on it. I miss you very much, Helen." Helen was with me when I was teaching formally down in Escondido. There's a vast difference between romance and authentic love, and the whole idea of this thing called Valentine's Day, which is the time where we pitch adoration to women. It's all about men finding women and then coercing them, qualifying themselves for a relationship, suitorship, as I like to call it, being a suitor. We're there to give you all sorts of gifts and prove that we love you, and we will, the bottom line, take care of you. That's the big one. That's the deal closer. I will take care of you. Those are the magic words most women want to hear, so they don't have to work, and all they have to do is get pregnant, which we don't need anymore. We're overpopulated, ladies. And live the life where she has the, you know, the designer stroller and all that, and still able to keep her figure after she's done her due diligence of getting pregnant, and the baby is perfectly cute. And of course, I've heard the back room talk with women about, oh, you know, you want Harry because he's so handsome and he'll make a beautiful baby and da 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 da. This is the way many, many women think. So when you're looking at the idea of romance, Helen, you know my thing on that. It is nothing more than a ploy to seduce a woman into thinking that I'm the guy for you. And I'm the guy that's going to take care of you. And I'm the guy that's going to worship you. And your poop don't stink. And whatever you do is cute and wonderful and little girly. And I can, grab you when I want you and have sex with you or whatever. If we're, you know, in relationship, of course, that dies out pretty quick. And then we live happily ever after. It's one of those things. And a lot of people believe that. A lot of women believe that in the happily ever after thing. It's really quite silly, but that's what people believe in, men and women, I think. So you start to look at the whole thing of romance, and does it have anything to do with a spiritual practice? What are we talking about here? And then there's love. The love that would come out of romance would not particularly be the love you would want for the sake of your own inner awakening. I don't think you'd really want that. Romance is for the ego. Romance is for the genetic side of us and the DNA part. It is about proving that we're enough and that we are good enough to have you and that we want you so bad. Truth be told, I mean, really be told, the only reason a man wants a woman is he wants to have sex with her. Now, you know, if he thinks he can have sex with her, he'll basically do just about anything. And if he's had sex with her and she's been what he would call satisfying in that arena, he'll do even more for you. So when these women, start thinking in terms, Helen, of how to get a man, they think in more in the role of seduction. They're not thinking from their heart. They're thinking from their human heart. They're not thinking from the authentic side of them. They're thinking from the temporal side of them. So they're hoping with all of their soul and might and everything that the man that they have chosen is going to be the right one. But statistics really show us that there are more and more people not getting married anymore due to the fact of the ugly divorce thing. And we are still finding the divorce rate much higher than we had previously thought it might be. And here is the startling statistics I've gotten from Pew Research. Are you ready? Are you sitting down? Out of 10 couples, 6 will divorce within 10 years. Well, what happened to the other 4? Well, there are other reasons. I don't think that this whole thing of getting married and being together and all of that has a lot to do with the meaning of love. I think it's a survival thing. And I feel when I'm doing counseling or I'm sitting there in the chair for 43 years listening to married couples fight and fight and fight, that there is no end to the fighting. It all has to do with this or that and the other. What are we going to do with this? How are we going to deal? He spends all this money. She spends all this money. It just goes on and on and on. And it has to do with the whole idea of first we meet chemically, and then we try to live with each other logically, and then at the end we divorce reasonably. And that's the way it works. And you have to ask yourself the question, is romance fair? Do we do romance? What does it mean to be romantic? That I make you feel like you're special? Your uniqueness as a woman, Helen, is in your heart. Are you able to recognize the man that you are maybe here to help guide into awakening? The real effort is not, can we live together? Can we make money? Can we make a secure nest? How many kids are we going to have? Can we get them through school? That whole thing. I want you to think of how ridiculous that really is in the light of the bigger picture that is this world that we're living in now. I mean, just economically, it's going to be very difficult. You're going to have a lot of money to be able to afford a marriage, a house, clothing, food, college. It's astronomical. Oh, well over $1 million. Are you going to make that kind of money? You got to sit down. And see, in the romance thing, when the chemistry is right and the testosterone's moving and the estrogen's moving and everything is going in that direction of our DNA, we see no numbers. We see no, quote unquote, reality of what we're getting involved in. And so, bingo, this is what happens. And then we make children, we bring them into this world, and they're very unhappy. These are not happy camper kids. These are kids and souls and beings that have been brought into the world very haphazardly, treated like, well, who knows what. I am always astonished at what I see. So you have to look at it from the point of view of, where am I in my authentic spiritual heart? There's nothing wrong with loving a person from there. There is nothing better than knowing that there is something within that other person that is a part of you, and you are a part of them. And then the you and them eventually drops away. And there's no more you, and there's no more them. There's just this thing called love. And that is what it's really all about. That's the meaning of everything. And that's the thing that I want you to see more than anything. I have been a counselor for a lot of years now, sitting with people in many different modalities of their marriage. And I can tell you something, you know, it was quite shocking to me when I was younger about how married couples will talk behind each other's backs and not say what they really mean. I had the classic one. I was having dinner with a couple, and we were just chit-chatting and talking about their marriage and everything, and how happy they were. And she had to go to the ladies' room, and she went and did that. And while she was gone, her husband looked at me and said, "That was all a bunch of horse shit. Just, I want you to know that. None of that was true," he said, "but I just go along with it because, you know, I go along to get along. I get along to go along." And he said, the convenience of the marriage and everything, blah, blah. That's man disease. And my jaw hit the ground. I couldn't have been, more than maybe 25, 30 years old when that happened. And I'll never forget it. And I've had many similar things. So, Helen, you just never know. Romance, oh, it's chemistry. Love, oh, that's spiritual work. I hope that helps. Please forgive me. Namaste. I bet you she's rolling her eyes. Greg, I remember Greg. All right, the next one is from Jean. She does not tell me where she lives. Can two people keep their love alive through sex and romance? My husband is just not interested in me anymore, and I don't know what to do. Should I go to Victoria's Secret or to a therapist? Jean. Oh, Jean. Oh, I don't know what's really going on in your relationship. I really don't, because I'm not in it. You know, I'm not there talking to you. I'm not getting feedback from the husband. And I only know your question. I don't know you. But by your little thing, should I go to Victoria's Secret or a therapist, I tend to wonder why Victoria's Secret would even be a consideration before the therapist. If you can find a very good therapist, one that is intuitive, one that is exploratory, one that does not take sides, and I find a lot of therapists do. I've had my share in my life, and I find that, you know, they're either pro-woman or pro-man. They can't see in between. Relationships are difficult. Gene, they require inner work. They are not fixed or solved by outer means. So you go to a therapist and they tell you, okay, this is the rules. This is what you got to do here. This is what you got to do there. And don't say this and do that. And then you think, okay, well, we got this thing by the tail and it'll all work out. But it never does, because relationships are living things. They're about ebb and flow. They're about breath. They're about a lot of different things that we can't even remotely imagine when we're getting married. When you're standing there in your white dress and the minister is doing what he's doing, and I've done hundreds and hundreds of ceremonies. I don't do them anymore, but only for friends, real close ones. But I don't do them anymore for the simple fact it's a mockery of love. They're standing there thinking they know everything about each other. They don't. They don't know what the genetics are going to be in 10, 15 years and how they're going to stick out and what they're going to do and the drive, the whole DNA drive and the whole fantasy of being together and married and all that other stuff and facing the world and doing it better than your parents did it and all that other stuff. And it's pure crap, and you know it, and I know it, and everyone knows it, but we pretend like it's not happening, but it is. To get a therapist who can help you not sort out the issues, because the issues are never sorted out. The issues that I would work out with a couple, and they'd leave on a Monday, you know, afternoon, and everything was clear and they were happy. They'd come back next Monday and everything was destroyed and nothing was clear anymore. Love has no rules. Love doesn't need rules. And the problem is what we call love in the beginning of our courtship with each other has nothing to do with the meaning of love in the livingness of it all. There has to be an authentic feeling within oneself for what it is to be in love. Now, I'm going to tell you something a little woo-woo, but true. You're not together with the person you think you're together with. Marriage relationships are much bigger things than we imagine. We treat them very haphazardly. We treat them as though they are a matter of mental and emotional stuff. They're not. They're spiritual stuff. They're made of spiritual stuff, just like everything on this planet is made of spiritual stuff. And if you're not careful, you won't be able to explore the purposes and the reasons for being in a spiritual life, in a spiritual relationship with a spiritual man or woman. And if you're not clear on all of that, if that is not the basis for your relationship, rather than genetics and DNA, then your relationship really isn't a relationship. It's a breeding ground. And the breeding is for children and the pseudo-ness of all that surrounds that. It's just what I call circling the wagons. So we circle the wagons and we protect ourselves against others and da 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 da. And it just gets uglier and uglier and uglier and uglier. That's not the way of love. People want to keep it that way, and that's why the world is the way it is. That's why there's war and famine and poverty and greed and selfishness. It all has to do with what Greg and Gene call love. And if we define it via our ego or our humanity or our vanity or our pride, we're in trouble. We're in deep, serious trouble because none of those things have anything to do with the meaning of love. It is about living within oneself. Love, real love, should help a person awaken inwardly, spiritually. The reason you would be with someone is not because they're beautiful or handsome or because they can provide for you or give you a better home, a better place to live, and all that other stuff. It has nothing to do with that. It has to do with the way of the heart and whether or not we can live in that heart and want love more than wanting what we think will give us love. It's a very difficult thing for people to understand. Very difficult. But most people, well, they don't care. They want what they want, and their bodies rule, their genetics rule, and their chemistry rules. Helen, go see a good therapist. But that therapist better be someone who knows the way of the heart, the spiritual heart. A good therapy for both of you would be to really see the dimensions of your own spiritual life and what they're all about. And most couples are not interested in that at all. That's the furthest thing from their mind. They just want to get along with each other and merge emotionally. And that isn't going to change anything, and that isn't going to make anything better. So, Victoria's Secret's out. What's really needing here, what is really necessary, is the way of the heart, the way of love, the essence of love. To find it within yourself. I doubt whether or not most couples would do that. And in my experience, very, very few. Please forgive me. Namaste. Oh, I have far more to say on that subject. The last question comes from Anna, and she says she lives in Southern California. Try as I will, do everything I've done, I'm not in love with my husband after 10 years of marriage. I don't know what happened. It's like the bottom fell out. I haven't told him. What do I do, Anna? Anna, you probably married him in a mood. And the mood was that maybe sexual. Maybe the mood was thinking that he was going to be a good provider. There's all sorts of different moods that people have for the reasons they do the things they do. These moods have a way of wearing out. We get tired of people. We get tired of the whole thing of negotiating. You have to, if you're in a marriage, most of the time it's a matter of negotiating because most people are not in love. You join the class of the pedestrian mentality. The majority of people in this world, they're not in love. So what are you to do after 10 years you're not in love? You have to fall in love with you. It's not about him. It's about you. Are you going to fall in love with you? Are you going to come to that place where you fall in love with you? You. That deep inner part of you. Can you fall in love with love? Can you be the love you seek within that is beyond the idea of romance and sex and happy ever after kind of thing? Can you fall in love with you? That's your quest. It isn't him. So what will you do? Well, if you're like most people, 99 and 9/10 of the people I know, you'll blame it on him or you'll blame it on you. And that'll be the end of that. You'll probably either get a divorce or write it out until you can't stand it anymore. And that's the pedestrian mentality. And honey, I can't help you because there's no availability there. You're going to have to figure out who and what you are, how you want to live, and then live with yourself in loving kindness. He will change. In the light of a great love in your heart, he will change, I promise, in your eyes. Please forgive me. Namaste. We'll pick this up tomorrow. I have a very special commentary coming up for you on Friday, the 10th of February. Samson and Delilah, my Valentine's Day offering. It's very important. I hope you'll read, watch, and listen. You get that if you're a sponsor. I'm out of here. We'll be back tomorrow with part two of this gory mess. Please forgive me, eh? Namaste.